We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running for a Thursday here at the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I will be your, I'm just not going to go with the horse racing analogy any further. Hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. You're tuned to the WMIE 91.5 FM station right here in Cocoa, Florida. And it's my pleasure to spend the next half hour with you as we are discussing the Word of God and the many benefits that are. Aren't you glad that God, by design, chose to make our lives better? The devil, by design, chooses to make our lives miserable and ultimately wants our lives to be separated from God in eternal death. But God strategically plans for us to have abundant life, a jubilant life. And so I got to thinking about this the other day. I had some reflective time as I was waiting on a technician to come to my home. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I came to the realization of what a masterpiece God has done just to get you and I to the point that we are alive. Now, let me extrapolate on that just to give you a little bit of an idea. How many of you can think of at least one occasion in your past where you could very easily have died? You know, my brother and sister and I, we all have an episode from our youth where we could have died. If that's the case, my kids aren't here. My wife has a different husband. You know, all of that because I, you know, was shown mercy in my life. Okay, now that in itself is a magnificent picture. And if you don't, so if you look back and you say, you know, I didn't have one of those type of experiences, I want to let you know that on your way to work today you did, because you were probably going down a two-lane road at some point in time, and at that point in time you are 18 inches away from a distracted driver, a drunk driver, a texting driver, a driver that is swerving to miss a squirrel, you're a person that looks down to turn off their radio, whatever. You're just 18 inches away from meeting Jesus. I mean, we are precariously and preciously placed in the time scale of God. Now, think about that when it comes to you, and then you go back and you put into place that existed for your mother, that existed for your father, that existed for your grandparents, that existed for your great-grandparents and your great-grandparents. You know, a few years ago, my grandmother told me, you know, how close she came to dying just walking to school as a kid. And it's like, if God doesn't intervene in that, there's no Bob. There's no Refresh Radio program. I'm telling you, you are not a cosmic accident. You are a divine masterpiece. And God's not done with us yet. That doesn't mean that everything that's happened in my life or happened in your life was just a bowl full of strawberries and ice cream. It that doesn't mean that at all. We do live in a fallen world. We do live in a world where the enemy fires real fiery darts and does want to inflict as much damage as possible. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And so today we're gonna be talking about your life, my life. I want to take you to Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." We're going to touch on multiple passages of Scripture today. So we're talking about the tremendous gift of light that God has given to our world. We've talked about some of that in physical sense. Primarily, we're looking at it in a spiritual sense, where in John chapter 8, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, he tells the disciples, he said, "You are the light of the world." That's because we're connected with him, and as a result of that, there is a radiance that is going to be demonstrated into the darkness. I want you to know all of that was part of God's plan. Here, Simeon holds the baby Jesus up. He went to church that day by the Spirit. I encourage you to do that. You know, we're just a couple of days. Some are going to church on Saturday night. Now some are going on Sunday morning. Whenever you are going, I encourage you to go filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't wait for the worship band to try and pump you up. Boom, 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 boom. You know, go say, "You know what? The Spirit of God is already alive and well in me. I'm going not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing." And so go to experience the gifts that God has demonstrated in the lives of others, but also go to utilize the gifts that he has demonstrated in your life and in my life. Praise the Lord. And so Simeon goes to church and he picks up this baby and he says, "This baby isn't like every other baby that I've ever held when I came to church. This baby is the anointed one. This baby is the Messiah. This baby is the one that God has been telling me that he was going to send all along." Now, I want to let you know, Simeon was on up there in years quite a bit when this happened. Not only was Simeon aged, so was Anna, but yet they were both constantly looking for the light of the world that God had promised was going to come. And they both got to see it. I'm telling you, when God makes you a promise, it is a promise that he intends on keeping. So here, Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." A lot of times we think of salvation as an act. I want to kind of refocus that a little bit to let you know Jesus is our Savior. And so no matter what the circumstances look like, I know I'm gonna be saved. I know my salvation is at hand because Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's never going to change. He's not going to become the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world. He's not going to become my Savior. He's already my Savior. And he's just waiting for people to embrace faith, ask for the forgiveness of their sins, and allow him to be the Lord of their life. And so Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples." One of the things that I describe people to people is that the devil does things in secret and then springs the surprise on you at a later point in time. He lets you know about the fine print. Like we made a change in one of our household utilities, and I'm sure somewhere along the way that I'm going to discover that there's some fine print in there that I didn't know anything at all about. So the devil, he does things, doesn't tell you how much it's going to cost, and then surprise, it costs you everything. It costs you more than you can afford. It costs you more than you want to pay. And God, on the other hand, says, this is what I'm going to do, and the devil can't stop me. And so Simeon says, God, you have prepared this in the eyes or before the face of all peoples. It was going to be acknowledged by the Roman government. Behold, the King of the Jews. That's what they put over his cross. It was going to be acknowledged by the Jewish people. It was going to be acknowledged by the leadership. And you and I, and it was acknowledged in their time. It's acknowledged in our time. And he says, this baby is a light to bring revelation. Get this. As I was preparing to come in for this, it was like, huh. I find this interesting. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. So the first thing that I'll mention to you about this is this would have messed with some religious people's heads because they looked upon the Gentiles with disdain. They thought that their relationship with God was an exclusive relationship with God. And so God said, no, the work that I'm going to do, and if you go back to Isaiah, you'll see it over and over and over again, that God was telling him, look, I'm getting ready to burst beyond the walls of Israel, beyond the walls of Judah. I've got it in my heart to touch the world with the saving grace of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so to give you a perspective, in Jewish sectors, there were Jewish people, and then there was everybody else. And Simeon prophesies here while he's holding the baby of Jesus. He said, he didn't just come for one. He came for all. Every tribe, every tongue, every skin color, every generation, every demographic, he came to bring, to be a light for everybody. And that light would bring revelation. That light would bring revelation. And I've mentioned to you before, we find ourselves in a dangerous place whenever we think that we know everything, we've learned everything there is to learn. You know, probably one of the classic examples of that was there was a time when somebody proposed shutting down the patent office because everything that could be invented had been invented. Folks, I want you to know there are things going on at a rapid pace. I don't foresee innovation ending anytime soon. Doesn't mean that everything that's going to be invented is a good invention. Doesn't mean it's always going to be a necessary invention. But you and I, we need to realize that we are still in desperate need of God to reveal himself in our life. I don't know about you. I want him to be revealed in my life. I don't want to be that undercover Christian. I don't want to be that undercover believer any more than I want to be an undercover husband. I don't want to be an undercover father. I want to be a person that when people meet me, they know who I am. That I, one of the things that I want to be known for is that I was the same person in public as I was in private. That's really what the goal of it is. I want to be genuine. And so Jesus shows up and Simeon says, look, he's not there just to be a light. He's there because God wants revelation to come. At this point in time, at the time of Jesus' birth, it had been over 400 years, some say as much as 450 years, since there had been much of a prophetic word that had gone forth in Israel. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist, Father Zacharias, has an angelic encounter, and people says, whoa, he's seen an angel. You know, his lot, he got one shot to go into the temple, and he goes in and he has an angelic encounter. Don't tell me that God isn't concerned about the timing of your life and doesn't know where you are. Don't tell me that God can't open the doors for you at just the right time, because you're not going to find that in Scripture. God wants to reveal himself to us. And looking at Zacharias, we can see that there are consequences if we don't respond to God's revelation in the correct manner. He lost his voice. He couldn't speak during Elizabeth's entire pregnancy. He wasn't able to utter a word until he wrote on the tablet when other people were wanting to usurp Elizabeth's prerogative to name the child. And Zacharias wrote, his name is John. And all of a sudden, his tongue was loosened. And then everybody's like, what is going on? We're living in an entirely new dynamic. One of the things that happens is many times people begin to expect that as boring and as mundane as everything has been before, that's the way that they're going to continue to be. I've told people all the time, I'm not into drama. I'm not into melodrama. I don't want to be the source of it. I don't want to be involved in it. I want to be involved in adventure. I want to be involved in spiritual adventure. I want to be involved in bringing revelation. I want to be involved in touching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be involved in. Not only was he a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, but he was a light to the glory of your people Israel. Okay? And so this was going to be something that was beyond religious borders. It would be beyond political borders. His life was meant to touch more than just that one geographic region. I want to take you over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This truth ties in with the one that we were just talking about. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 8 says this, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. How long has it been since you misplaced something? How long has it been since you misplaced the thought that you had, you know, the reason that you went into the room and then you got there and you couldn't remember why you were there, and you had to go back out to where you were so you could remember why you went where you did? And me too. Me too. Misplacing something is disconcerting. I've done work on cars. I've done work construction-wise and things like that. And it was always amazing to me how tools could get lost and I didn't go anyplace. You know, where is it? How did it get over there? You know, and if you've ever lost something, you feel the urgency of how important it is to find it. And for this woman, finding this coin was extremely important. And she said, you know what? I am going to light the lamp. I'm going to illuminate this house so that I could find it. Now, their homes probably, you know, are smaller than many people's garages or storage sheds. It's not the size of the house. You can lose things in a very small area, or you can lose something in a pretty large area. But if you've lost it, you realize that if you're going to find it, you're going to have some light. We had a young man that this is before we ever came to Merit Assembly of God. We took the kids to the beach for a back-to-school beach bash, and while he was there, he lost his cross necklace. And we searched and we searched and we searched, and the problem was that the sun was going down. And, you know, it's hard enough to find something in the sand, especially when people have been traipsing all over it. It's even harder when people have been going over that area with their feet and shifting sands and all of that, and they can't find it. And it's complicated even further when the light, where the sun is setting. And so because we realized the urgency of the departing daylight, my wife said, well, let's stop and let's pray and let's ask God to show us where it is. And so we prayed, and then after we prayed, Now, doesn't that sound counterproductive? I mean, you'd think you'd want to be looking for it instead of praying. I want you to know prayer is not counterproductive. Prayer is powerful. And so we prayed. We asked God to help us to find it. And my wife looked at him and said, okay, now where was the last place that you remember seeing it? And the young man bent down and he said, well, the last place I remember seeing it was right. And he stopped mid-sentence, and he reached down, and he picked the necklace up, and it was right in the middle of where everybody had been looking. It was literally in between the young man's feet. But we wouldn't have been able to do that had we not had the light. And so this lady says, because of the great compassion that I have for that which I've lost, I'm going to light a lamp. Luke chapter 15 is got three parables in it, three statements. It's the chapter of lost things. There is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And in each one of those, it is very important that which is lost be found. And so it's going to take a determination. It's going to take a desire to leave a safe place. It's going to take a desire to say, you know what, I know I've got all of this, but I don't want to lose that. And so this woman, because of her compassion for the coin, how important it was to her, she lit up the house. She fired up a lamp, and she said, it's going to be a lot easier to find this coin when there are no shadows in this room. And what I want to tell you today is that God loves lost souls, lost men, lost women, lost boys, lost girls, lost senior citizens. He loves the lost with such great compassion that he wants to light up our community so that there's no shadow, there's no place where there's a disconnect between Savior and sinner. How about if he sees fit to light our lamp for the purpose of saving the lost? I think that would be a great benefit. I think that statistics bear out that we're seeing too few people get saved, and that we need to see more get saved. And part of the process of doing that is not just the determined efforts to look, but also to burn brightly for the glory of the Lord. I'm going to take you one more place today, John chapter 5, and verse number 31. Jesus says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." One more thing I will say about this burning and shining lamp, you know, that same desire for the lost to be saved, the lost to be found, that was why God burned so brightly in John's life. And we have a choice to make when someone is representing Jesus well. How are we going to respond to God's mercy in order to burn brightly in a person's life? Jesus said, "You all made a decision." Let me read it to you. He said, verse number 35, "And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." The implication is, you have now made another choice, a poorer choice. Today, I want to ask you, how are you going to respond? You tuned into this radio program. I don't believe in accidents. I believe in providence. I believe in God's direction. And I want to ask you, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond when God lights up a passage in the Word of God and he tells you that he loves you, but that sin that you've been keeping in the closet, it's got to go? How are you going to respond? I tell you how I want to respond. I want to respond with joy to the things that God illuminates in my life, because I know it's not only going to benefit me, it's going to touch other people. And I also want God to not only save my family, I want him to save others as well. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Are you the Christian woman looking to network and fellowship with other Christian women? Are you a female pastor looking to connect and find support among other female pastors? Pastor Shayna Wise, founder of Christian Women Preachers United, welcomes you to join her this Saturday, July 28th, for food, fellowship, and kingdom networking with other women of God. Christian Women Preachers United is an interdenominational and diverse group of women who support each other by sharing wisdom and experience in ministry. This free meeting is this Saturday, July 28th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at IHOP on University Boulevard in Orlando. More information can be found by visiting christianwomenpreachersunited.com. That's christianwomenpreachersunited.com.